Radiotopia.
I'm excited to tell you that one of our favorite Radiotopia siblings, Ear Hustle, is back with a new season. Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast. Co-hosts Nigel Poor and Erlon Woods have recently been spending time at four California prisons and have a season's worth of funny, surprising, and unforgettable stories to share. In a recent episode, they were able to visit a groundbreaking prison hospice where they spoke to men who are grappling with the reality of dying inside prison. Also coming up this season are stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells, complicated mom-daughter relationships in prison, and incarcerated people who wonder whether they've become too comfortable behind bars. Stories about life on the inside, told by those who live it. Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dear Diary.
Sixth grade.
February 14th.
1991.
I am really depressed.
How could she break up with me?
Mom, you can't read this.
Hi, I'm Trinity. It was 1995, and Al Gore had just invented the internet. I was 16. I was living in a small town in Northern California that I was itching to get out of. And then one day, we got something called a CD-ROM in the mail that promised hours of something called America Online for free.
From PRX and Radiotopia, this is the Mortified Podcast. I'm Neil. Today, the tale of a teenager who grew up in the 90s and was determined to make her small-town life exciting, even if it meant living out an alternate reality online. For Trinity, a teenager with an overactive imagination, even the simplest of questions posed to her in an online chat room was like asking her to write the setup to a new novel. The possibilities were endless.
I started writing short stories at the time, and, you know, meeting people seemed in this way like I could be a character, and the other people didn't feel totally real because the internet was still this really new thing. My, you know, day-to-day life was boring, not sexy, and didn't have a boyfriend. And I, a lot of times, felt, you know, bad about myself, so I could be whoever I wanted online.
I was definitely catfishing before catfishing was a term.
Here's Trinity sharing her diaries on stage in Portland.
April 16th, 1995. Today is Easter and I have the flu. I have too much to do to be sick and school starts tomorrow. This past week has been incredibly boring. I've used 8 hours of online time. No one knows. April 19th. Well, I've been writing nonstop to Chris, my new online friend, and I'm very crushed on him. Those older men, I tell ya. They get me every time. I only have about a half hour online left. I won't be able to write to him for a while, so we exchanged addresses. He got my phone number. He's calling me tomorrow. He said he wants to hear my voice. Who knows what will come of it? April 20th. Well, Chris called me, and it was all good, and he was so nice, and we talked for like 45 minutes, and it was fine. He said he fantasizes about me when he masturbates. Woo woo.
we're going to talk online sometime this weekend. He said I didn't sound 16. He sounded perfect. April 21st. Me and Babs and Rosie went out driving to find some so-called cute boys, but it was a no-show. Then we went by Josh's house, and he and his brother Danny were out front, and they waved, and so we came back and talked to them. I remembered that Josh had been absent like me. Were you sick? I asked him. Yeah, he said. Strep throat. I said, really? Me too. When did you get it? Easter Sunday, he said, laughing. Isn't that a romantic coincidence or what? Just to think that we were miserable together and we didn't even know it. April 27th. Josh and Danny came over today. Josh is so cute and I want him like mad. His cute little saggy jeans and his scarred lip. Ah. He left his can of Safeway Select cream soda at my house. And being the perv that I am, I took it and drank it and have it on my shelf. Josh is going to be 16 on Saturday, and then I won't feel so pervy anymore. So since Josh wasn't showing me any sort of sign in real life, my online activity ramped up a notch or 10. I know. May 22nd. I didn't go to school today because I'm so tired from doing the school play. I got up this morning and cried. Met two boys online. One's name is KJ, and I was posing as a boy, so we were having a gay relationship in a way. He's cute, lives in Michigan. I'm just giving a boy a little fun. May 23rd. Well, this gay boy is in love with me. Well, actually, he's in love with Sean, my gay boy creation. But I feel so bad because I'm fucking with his head and there is no Sean. I can't really stop now that I've started because he needs Sean. He doesn't have anybody. I feel bad, though. May 24th. Sean couldn't sleep all night last night thinking about KJ. If KJ ever found out there was no Sean, he'd hate me, and worse, he would feel like shit. He needs Sean so much, and he keeps saying how happy he is and all the things Sean is doing for him. I mean, I'm not hurting him if he doesn't know, I guess. I feel guilty, though, and Sean can't stop thinking about KJ.
Yeah, it was hard to keep separating myself from Sean because Trinity started caring a lot about KJ. And I mean, it felt like they were in a relationship because I started feeling like I was in a relationship with KJ. And then that's when I started to feel guilty because I knew that if I had feelings, then he probably had feelings. I thought about telling him a lot, but I also, you know, didn't want it to be over. And I knew that it would be over probably if I told him. His experience was that he was being bullied because people suspected that he was gay, but he wasn't out about it. He had had, you know, thoughts like that of hurting himself. And so I worried, you know, I was afraid that if I told him that I was a teenage girl, that, you know, that he might be suicidal. I did not tell anybody about this. It felt like a lot of pressure to put on myself to be sort of responsible for this other person's well-being.
May 25th. My whole fucking family is yelling at me because of online, but it's Sean's fault, not mine. KJ told Sean that he loves him and vice versa. He can't stop thinking about him. I'm so pissed at my family right now. Sean had to console KJ because he got into a fight at school. Life sucks. I wish I were a boy. I hate knowing that KJ's thinking about a non-existent person that he can never really be with. May 26. Well, I've kind of figured it out. Sean is my creation. He's like a character in a story that I can make do whatever I want. It's fun, like a game. Only, I know if I hurt KJ with this, I'll never live it down, and I'll feel guilty for the rest of my life. What if he wants to talk to Sean, or worse, visit? I think I'd have to tell him the truth, and then he'd be heartbroken. He's very on edge right now and could do something desperate. Why did I let it go this far? May 27th. I just got an email from KJ, Sean did. I can't express what I feel right now, except it's like I want to throw up. He lied. KJ is 39. He has two kids, one my age. Everything he told Sean is true, except his age. Like all that stuff happened to him when he was 15, though, so the problem is, what now? I mean, he came clean thinking he was hurting Sean so much. Should I say that all is true too, but coming from a 16-year-old girl? He has such high respect for Sean and everything. I don't know. He ruined my fantasy, though. The fantasy that was doomed from the start. I feel so hurt, more for Sean, though, because now he's stuck with nowhere to go but out. Sean is miserable.
It was a mixture of horror and relief, I think, when I got that email from him saying who he really was. And I also think that even though I was lying about things, it hadn't totally occurred to me that other people might do that, that I could kind of be duped by somebody else. But then at the same time, I was like, well, I can't really be mad because I'm also lying and my lie is felt worse than his. I knew I had to tell him right away because I had already been thinking about it that I had to tell him.
May 28th. Well, KJ and I talked and things aren't all better, but they're going to be. We were both crying and being so sorry and it was hard, very hard. It was probably the hardest thing I've ever had to do. He says he still loves me even though I'm a girl. He is gay, maybe bi, but he said he can never give his whole heart to a woman again. It's understandable, though. I care for him so much. It goes beyond all these other crushes, beyond anyone and anything, because I've truly shared with him what I haven't shared with anyone. It hasn't anything to do with sex or age or gender. It's love in its purest form. I'm still sorting things out, though. I don't know what to think. I'm sad, mostly. A little relieved and very anxious, unknowing of what could or couldn't happen. I'm trying to forget, but it's hard, so hard. I feel so much aching swelling up inside me, so much pain. KJ and I decided to write a book about it, or a movie, though no one would believe it. I feel like shit. So does he. This is so complicated. Life is nuts. God, if anyone knew. Thank you.
Real Trinity and KJ continued to have a relationship for a little while afterwards. I felt like we had been through this crazy experience that he probably didn't tell anybody about either, because how are you going to tell that story to anyone? It's kind of bananas. So, you know, we had the secret relationship that turned into this other weird relationship. And we felt like we had been through all of these strong emotions together. And part of me felt like I wanted to take care of him, even though I know he was an adult. And somehow in my mind, I was like, yeah, this makes sense. A teenage girl and like a 40-something-year-old closeted gay man from the Midwest are going to be best friends.
And somehow, despite all the odds, their imaginary friendship had blossomed into a real one. Or at least as real as a friendship between two fictitious gay teenage boys can be. There was just one thing missing.
We talked about meeting up after the big reveal. I was going to a writing summer school in LA, and he was going to supposedly be coming through LA on business and was going to come visit me, but it ended up not working out, which is probably for the best. And I think after that, we just kind of faded away.
In retrospect, Trinity is relieved she never met KJ in real life. And it's not because she feared for her safety back in the day. Instead, her relief is based on her experience today as a licensed therapist.
I now work with teenage girls who have been sex trafficked. And so, you know, reading about the older men that I was connecting with, I thought, oh my God, this is exactly what happens to a lot of the girls I work with, because sex trafficking happens a lot on the internet. And now there's like Facebook and all this stuff where girls post pictures and they're constantly trying to be sexy before they should be. And, you know, I didn't even have any of that. But I get it. I can understand the mind a little bit more. And if I hadn't had a little wherewithal that I did, I definitely think that something worse could have happened.
Trinity was lucky that her fake online life didn't get too real. But in an ironic twist, by the end of her relationship with KJ, their dynamic had morphed into the kind she shares with clients as a therapist today.
A lot of it was somehow me giving him advice about like how to come out and how to, you know, tell his family and like how he should meet people. And he took my advice, and I remember he said that he met someone or had started to go out on dates, and he was like, you know, this never would have happened if it hadn't have been for you. And like what he told me is that I had been really helpful in helping him like come out as a grown man.
And you'll be happy to know the experience also helped Trinity the teenager grow up.
I stopped lying on the internet after that. And I think that after that, I realized I wanted very much to be in a real relationship as myself.
And this concludes today's episode, where we learned if you catfish while getting catfished, that's considered a double catfish, or a reverse catfish, or a catfished catfish, or maybe we just learned to keep your kids off the damn internet. Yeah, that's probably it.
Dad, get off the phone! I'm on the internet!
Wait, we still have dial-up? To share the shame, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, or AOL, or Prodigy, or Netscape, or MySpace, or visit GetMortified.com to learn about Mortified stage shows, books, films, and beyond. Click participate, and who knows, maybe you'll appear on a future episode of this series. And don't forget to pre-order our new book!
Yay!
My Mortified Life, a guided journal. A diary for your awkward past and equally awkward present. How much have you changed since childhood? Find out if you love the same way, fight the same way, or even freak out the same way. Available for pre-order on Amazon or our website. As many of you know, the Mortified Podcast is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, which is made possible with support from the Knight Foundation. And thanks to AdZerk for providing their ad-serving platform to Radiotopia. If your company would like to support our podcast too, we would love that. Email sponsor@radiotopia.fm. Our podcast production team for this episode includes Hadley Dion, Dave Nadelberg, and myself, Neil Catcher. This story was produced for the stage by Egan Danahy. Thanks, Egan. Music by Gordon Bash, Alex Burke, Adam Smith, The Angel, Zoe Rose Palladino, and Snake, Snake, Snakes. Big thanks to Lance Roberts Studios, Celine Anderson, and all the dedicated Mortified line producers whose work make the stage show possible. Until next time, we remind you that we are freaks, we are fragile, and we all survived early 90s dial-up.